Today, I also received the privilege, a great privilege from the pastor, Nathan, to have the devotional for you. And I'd like to invite you to think this morning in about a couple thoughts brought from the Bible in 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. If you want to take your Bibles, then you can follow better. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses, basically 1 and 2. I don't know how far I will go because I only have about 20 minutes, I think. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father throughout sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling of his blood. I'm sorry. My English gets a little bit rusty because, you know, I speak in Spanish in my house. I speak in Spanish in my ministry. So the only times I speak in English is when I have to struggle with the cellmen's and cellwoman's coming in the telephone, and I have to talk to them. And, of course, when I have to preach in American churches that support us, and that's my only opportunities for my English. So anyway, I actually wrote my message so I can go back and, you know, if I don't find the words in English, then I can just read them. The title that I chose for this message today is Christians are the most blessed immigrants of the world. Now today, the word immigrant, it calls many feelings, make different feelings, you know, it depends, you know, for some people it's scary, for others it's upsetting, for others it's joyful, and you know, you name it. This morning though, I'm not gonna talk about either economics or politics in immigration, but the spiritual immigration that we experience in Christ when we became Christians. The day we accepted Jesus Christ, our Savior, we were transformed, and our spiritual citizenship was translated or transported from this world to heaven. You know, Philippians says that our citizenship is in heaven, and that is for our newborn spirit that is secure positionally in heaven forever and ever since the eternity to the eternity. And that's a serious stuff. And I want to actually bring you to think a little bit of the importance of this issue that we have been chosen from God from eternity to eternity. And when we think in these terms, even though we were saved, you know, through our decision of Jesus, taking Jesus Christ in as our Savior and Lord, yet, when we become Christians, then we realize that some way, somehow, God has already chosen us from, you know, past eternity. We don't know when, but surely before we were born. And he met us, you know, and chose us. And he couldn't say that he chose me because I was so good, because I wasn't even born. You know, so how could he know that I was going to be good? He knew that I was not going to be good. And yet he chose me for some reason. He doesn't give us details of how he did it, and I cannot explain you this, how happened, because I wasn't there. You know, physically I wasn't there, so I didn't see the things. Only God knows. He knows, he understands, he tells us in his word what he did. And then now, when we become Christians, we find out that we are indeed chosen as very special people in this world. Sometimes we don't feel like that because we feel persecuted, we feel pressure from sometimes family, friends, society, politics and who knows. And yet we are the best people in the world. I mean, we are chosen by God, you know. And this is now, and this is going to be for the eternity. And, you know, God doesn't play games. He's very serious. I remember that Albert Einstein, when he actually started the theory of the quantum mechanics, and all of a sudden he said, no, quantum mechanics cannot be, you know, calculated precisely by mathematics, so it was my mistake, you know. It was a mistake. Well, others took over the theory and kept working on it, and now they, you know, if we can speak by cell telephones, and you know, they can speak with robots in Mars, in the moon, and in the space, is because quantum theory or quantum mechanics. And yet, he said once his reason for rejecting his own basic theory, because he couldn't calculate things, he said, no, cannot be calculated, so God doesn't play games, you know. He's a very serious person, the Lord is a very serious person, and he had a debate with another who took over his theory and continued working on it, and, you know, the other guy was defending the theory, Einstein was rejecting his own theory, and he said, well, Mr. Einstein, you discovered this, why do you reject it? And he said, well, because the Lord doesn't play chess. I mean, he doesn't play this kind of games with his creation. And the other guy says, well, Mr. Einstein, Dr. Einstein, excuse me, but you cannot be telling God what to do and what not to do. You know, that's a very simple argument. And both things are true at the end of the story. But this is one of the things that, you know, we have to take it, because the Lord said it, and he doesn't play games, and serious, so it can't be a mistake. So he chose us, we are chosen, and we will be chosen forever and ever. We cannot get out of this circle. We were not chosen because our goodness or our works, and we will not be taken out for either, you know, anyway. You cannot, with your weakness, get out of the immense power of God that chose you to be forever and ever and ever his people, you know. And you might sometime want to get out of there, and you can't, you know. It's just God will keep you forever and ever with him. And this is beautiful truth, because it gives us the real feeling that we are a special people. And that's what Peter says here, Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, or to the people elected by God. And this is what he is saying, you know, you were elected. You became Christians in this world because you accepted Jesus Christ. You found out that you were elected. Those who do not accept Jesus Christ will never find out, because they were not elected. And that's what happens. And how happens, you know, I cannot tell you. I wasn't there. You cannot tell me how is that, because you weren't there. And we just have to trust the word of God, you know, in these things. So to God's elected, and I will add people, strangers in the world. Now, this version says strangers. Other says expatriates, others says immigrants in this world. And I want to also give a little thought about this word, strangers, immigrants. We were strangers, we were expatriates in Brazil, Spain, Guatemala. Now finally we are in the country where we are citizens. And I was born in Mexico, but became American citizens about 30 years ago or so. And you know, when we came to the United States, finally, we thought we are going home. And then we found out that actually we were not home yet. We are still missionaries. We are still working. And let me tell you something, you too are like us. You are missionaries in this world from God's kingdom. You may not be full-time or career missionaries as we were. You were maybe another career, another profession, and yet you are still missionaries in this world because you have a mission to fulfill in this world. And you were sent here at this city with your family, with your friends, with your circle of people to be missionaries for God's kingdom. And that's what Peter is saying to these Christians in Cappadocia, Asia, Galatia, Bithynia. He said, you are strangers in this world. And strangers also can be translated as immigrants. When we went to Spain first as immigrants, you know, we immigrated to Spain, stayed there for 15 years, planted a couple churches that now have spread all over the place, and I don't know how many churches they have now. But in these 15 years, we were, immigrants in Spain, expatriates, strangers in Spain. And I could spend the morning telling you the feelings of getting to a place that where you are strange. And my wife and I have lived over 30 years as missionaries, immigrants. My wife first in Brazil, then together in Spain, Mexico, Guatemala. Now working for 8 years, you know, we arrived in the United States in 2010, for 8 years among Latino immigrants in the United States. We have been over 33 years both related to expatriates and being expatriates ourselves, all too familiar with the limitations and opportunities of this kind of life. But this morning, you know, I don't want to talk about us. My wife already did it. As I said, I want to talk more about the church, that we are a nation of chosen people and missionaries of the kingdom in this world. All of us are spiritual immigrants. Peter continues saying, not only you are strange in this world, but also scattered. Now, this word scattered in the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek, the Greek New Testament, is the word diaspora. It is translated scattered because that's what it means. But the word diaspora was used for the Jews, for the Jewish people that was scattered in the world, through the world, since the first dispersion that they had under the Babylonian empire. So they were taken as slaves, first of all from the Assyrians and then from the Babylonians. And maybe you have read sometimes this Psalm 137:1. You don't have to look at it, it's very well known. And it says, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, there we wept as we remember Zion. You know, very sad song they had to sing in their diaspora in Babylon. And later on, they continue crying for Jerusalem, even though they have now a peace, or the whole city, I don't know, in Israel. And yet they continue crying, weeping for Jerusalem. That was the kind of diaspora of the Jewish people. But Peter is calling us, I mean Christians, calling to the church, the diaspora, also a spiritual diaspora. You know, Israel was a literal diaspora, but we are a spiritual diaspora because we are scattered through the world, and yet, you know, we are waiting to be in our homeland, which is Zion, our Zion. But difference from the people of Israel that was the diaspora in Babylon and in other countries of the world, they were sad and crying for Jerusalem. You know, in Babylon, when this Psalm 137 was written, of course, was referring to the sadness of seeing Jerusalem all destroyed and abandoned, and you know, that was a very tragic and painful and sad situation of Zion or Jerusalem of their time. We are a different diaspora. Our Zion is in heaven. The New Jerusalem is our Zion. And actually, we don't sit down anymore by the rivers of Babylon. We will sit down by the river that flows from the throne of God, you know, with this pristine water, and we will be there, but we will not be sad. We will be rejoicing, and we rejoice even in this world, you know, even though we don't have the that river right here. We have many other beautiful rivers, but not that one. And yet we don't weep. We are not weeping for Zion. Actually, every time we sing about Zion, it is to lift up our spirits, because that's the blessed hope we have as Christians, you know. In this world, everything is temporal, you know. Good things are temporal. Bad things are also temporal, you know. If you are going through a difficult time, rejoice in the Lord that this is going to pass by, you know, because it's not eternal. If you are rejoicing in a very good situation, well, give thanks to the Lord, but be prepared, because it might pass, you know. It might come times for sadness. So live, as you know, in the song we said, one day at a time. And this is what we have to do here, because we are immigrants. We are pilgrims. Now, sometimes it is used the word people that is kind of lost in the world. We are not lost. We know our way. We know why we are here, and what is our mission, what is our destiny. We are pilgrims with a very well-traced route to walk. And there are many psalms that were written for pilgrimage, you know, from the Psalm 34 to 37, I think, is a series of psalms that as the people was walking in their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, they were singing those psalms. We can sing those psalms even today, because we are walking towards Zion, towards Jerusalem. And, you know, Christian life, it was designed by the Holy Spirit to be a joyful life. That doesn't mean that we will be always happy and smiling, but it will be that in our heart will be joy, even in spite of sad or painful, difficult situations, because the hope is there, you know. We are just getting closer and closer every day to Zion. Now, my wife and I are probably closer than many of you here. I don't know. She's 77, I am 70. And we have been almost 40 years of marriage. We will be celebrating our 39th anniversary this November coming. And and yet we are not concerned either about, you know, when we will depart or how long we will stay. We just keep doing whatever we can as long as we have energy and health and strength. We keep working because we are walking towards Jerusalem, you know, towards the New Jerusalem is hope expecting us, and is hoping. We are hoping to get there one time, whenever God wants. We are rejoicing to be here. Now the Lord has given us a very special privilege to be a career missionary. It has its downs and ups and downs, but mainly the ups are when we see the results of the work in the field, and we come to share with the supporting churches. It's just a blessing to be to see the churches. And let me tell you something. The churches that are missionary oriented, every time we come, we see the churches growing. I remember that this church was not as packed as it is today. You're packed down and up. And what happened is you continue growing in a little town, because this city is not big. So that means that actually God is working through his people, you know. And you have a pastor and with a family that they are remarkable. And we spent 2 hours yesterday with them. And I just felt like, you know, I really challenged. I have many things to grow still in life, seeing their discipline, their order, their, you know, was wonderful time to spend with them. So I just want to finish telling you that, yes, God has chosen you for eternity. When you became Christian, you found out that you were elected for God. And don't ever have any doubt that your salvation is secure, because you cannot do anything to get out of there, you know, and even if you want. So forget about that. I'm sorry for many evangelicals who think in this like a scary thing. You know, I want to lose my salvation if I sin. How can your weakness break the power of God? I mean, it's just unbelievable, you know. And secondly, that you may not be a career missionaries, but you are missionaries of the kingdom in your place. You are here with a mission. You are pilgrims. And as you walk in your pilgrimage, you have to go as the early church did in the book of Acts. You know, they were scattered by persecution, but they were witnessing everywhere they went. So that's they were missionaries, and they didn't know. So you have to share your faith with others, the word of God. I see that you have a nice reading right here over my head, and that is very truth, you know. Some of us have the privilege, as I say, to be full-time missionaries, and you also are full-time in another sense, you know, because wherever you are working, living, or doing whatever you do, you are doing all this for the sake of Jesus Christ. And this is your message, you know, living, speaking, witnessing about Jesus Christ. That's what we do also in the missionary field. We don't do different things. That's what we do. Thank you for inviting us and for your patience. And God bless you. Thank you.